Gamecock fans, welcome to another edition of Cock of the Walk podcast with your host Wesley Burris and my co-host Taylor Griggs. Today we are celebrating on a Monday evening with a little bit of Monday Night Football in the background. A big victory by the Gamecocks this weekend, 37-14 over the Commodores up in Nashville in a nasty game weather-wise. But we got out of there dominating fashion. Honestly, the second half just pulverized them. You know, we didn't allow them to do much of anything. After three turnovers in the first half, kept the ball game close. We came out, punched them in the mouth, had a long weather delay, came back. We were just a better team. We were the better team on Saturday, and I was glad to see them show up the way they did, Taylor. I mean, they did most of what we talked about on last week's episode, which we didn't really preview the game too much because we didn't have anything to talk about the Gamecocks going back to the Georgia game because we had the canceled game against Marshall. And all I can say is for everybody in the Conway and Horry County area, Little River area in North Carolina is experiencing all this horrible flooding with the Waccamaw River this week. My God, I'm just butchering shit. It's been a mess up there. Nobody can get anything done. It's bad. This is a horrible time. I hope this damn storm, it looks like it's turned around and could come back and hit the North Carolina coast again. That's horrible. Still got a couple months to dodge these hurricanes. I hope it doesn't affect anybody else that you know and love. But, you know, it is what it is. We've got to take the good with the bad living here in the Palmetto State. That's what it is. So, some of the good this weekend, though, a little bright spot. The Gamecocks come out here. They look good, Taylor. What did you think about the game? And I think just what do you take away from it, really?
It was a good bounce-back game. I don't think Bentley quite did what I wanted him to do.
What does that mean? You wanted him to shred him?
Yeah.
See, I feel the opposite. I think that he did make a couple of mistakes. He made a couple of errant throws. He had the bad pick. But ultimately, he didn't do anything that cost us the ball game, and we just ran the ball and imposed our will on them. Our offensive line looked absolutely dominant in this football game.
Yeah.
We were the more talented team. And this is a team, we'll find out if Notre Dame is legit going down the road. They have a brutally tough schedule. But I think Vanderbilt's a solid team. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, on the long weather delay, Gene Chizik was really putting us over as being physical and solid because he said, you know, Notre Dame's a legit defensive front. And Vanderbilt imposed their will on them. And he thought that, you know, the fact that we could go out there and really just bow up on their offensive line. Kinlaw was disruptive all day.
Yeah, he won SEC code defense.
Oh, dude. I mean, he was in the backfield and all day. Very disruptive on the front were we on defense. And I just think we played like our hair was on fire. You know, we tackled well. We had a couple busted assignments here and there, but that's going to happen. That happens to the best of teams. I'm going to run through the game real quick, the scoring summaries and whatnot, and then we'll wrap things up talking about Vandy because we got a big one coming up this week, one that I'm really worried about because the Kentucky Wildcats have beaten us 4 years in a row. I mentioned on an earlier podcast I despise them as a program, period. I don't like their basketball team. I don't like their fans. I definitely don't like their football team. I don't feel like the last few years they've been – on paper, they haven't been better than us, but I argued this with several people. They're obviously better than us on the football field because they've beaten us four straight. Now, people could argue that's luck. You don't do that 4 years in a row, man. I mean, I know you Gamecock fans don't want to hear a Tiger fan tell you that when we beat them five straight that those games were all luck because they definitely weren't. And Kentucky has just had our number. That's just fact. I mean, there's no arguing with that. I hate it, and I hope – that this really hyped up, really good-looking Kentucky football team at number 17 in the nation, I believe that's where they were, I might be mistaken right now, at 4-0 and 2-0 in the SEC, I really hope we can knock them off. But we'll talk about Vandy a little bit more because I feel like, Taylor, Jake looked good. I think he actually looked great at times. We just got a lot of weapons on this football team, and we were able to get the ball in many people's hands today. Or Saturday, I should say. We're not doing this right after the game. We got Monday Night Football going on. So, all right. So, I mean, we talked about we wanted to see us impose our will and rush the football. which we did very, very effectively. And we'll get into all the numbers here in a second. But, man, Dowdle had over 100 yards and a touchdown, averaging over 5 a carry. Tyson, I believe, averaged right around 7 yards a carry, like 6.8, 6.9, something like that. I think when I was going over the numbers earlier, AJ had 7 yards a carry. You know, there was just – our line played great. That's all I can say. And I know that Kentucky's front is a lot more talented than Vanderbilt. They're returning 8 of their top 10 returning tacklers from last year. So, you know, it's going to be a big, big chore this week. I'm interested to see. Matter of fact, go ahead and look that early lineup. It's typically a little off. We've been doing this the last few weeks, and I forgot to look at it earlier. It's been a little off from what it actually comes out at on Tuesday in the morning or Tuesday night on the site that I like to look at, which is scoresandodds.com. It's kind of an aggregate site of Vegas odds and online odds together. I'm going to call what I think the spread is and then see how close I can get. I'm not saying if I handicapped it, this is what it would be, but I'm just guessing what I think they'll have it at. I think Kentucky being at home, having just beaten a what I think is a very good Mississippi State football team, maybe slightly overrated, but I'm not going to take anything away from the dominating fashion in which Kentucky played Saturday night, especially defensively. I'm going to say Kentucky is a 6.5-point favorite against us. How far off am I?
I'd love to tell you that.
Is it very far off? Oh, you don't know yet.
They don't have it on my app, so I'm looking somewhere else.
Oh, you didn't just look it up on Google?
No, I usually use CBS Sports.
Oh, well.
And they don't have lines for those
games
yet.
Let's look that up right now while we tinker around and babble. And here we go. According to the state newspaper website, this game opened up as a pick 'em, which kind of blows my mind. And then they say, and then a funny thing happened. In the minutes after the game was considered dead even, the line started to move, according to Vegas Insider, which is pretty reputable. South Carolina moved to being a 2-point favorite within 10 minutes of the line coming out. Now, I can explain this to you in the simplest of terms. The majority of the betting public does not bet on a game as soon as the line comes out or even within the first day. The majority of the betting public doesn't get their action in to a hometown bookie until around, I would say, Friday at the earliest and probably Saturday. I know that's how my guy is. So online, you could bet it as soon as it comes out, but the online site I used to use would only have college games come out Monday night after 12 a.m., so Tuesday morning. So if Vegas Insider is saying that it moved to 2 points, that would mean to me, as a gambler for a while and understanding how this works, that's where the sharp money is. And for all you people that don't partake in this crazy gambling lingo, sharp money means smart money, guys that do this for a living. So take that for what it's worth. That means there are a lot of people out there that feel like South Carolina is the better football team. And I can understand that for a few reasons. And we're getting way off of this Vanderbilt game, but this is interesting to talk about to me. I feel like that could be the case because our win wasn't as emotional as Kentucky's win was. They had a packed house the other night for that football game. Now they're having another big game here. They have another big game at home in a few weeks against Georgia. You know, every game for them now becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and the pressure was on this past week after getting their ass kicked by Mississippi State last year in Starkville to really compete and lock it down this week. I feel like, you know, with a big home game coming up this week, it might be, you know, all that emotion, like I said a second ago, it might be too much for them, for people nationally to think that they can compete at that level 2 weeks in a row. Now, I don't think South Carolina's defense is as good as Mississippi State's defense. That's just going off what I've seen so far. Benny Snell is a weapon. We'll get into that later. But now you're telling me something that you just saw.
Scores and Odds has us as a 1-point favorite.
Okay. So now you can go on there and do this real quick. Or do you go to where it says full site, or how did you look it up? Because you can actually see where the movements are. So if it's in either way, if it's moved 1 point, Vegas Insider is part of as one of the sites that Scores and Odds aggregates from. So, you know, that seems logical, I guess, if they're saying the line moved up. Either way, I'm not taking anything away from that. Just because you're a favorite in a football game does not mean you're supposed to win. That really doesn't. I know that's the way they portray it on television. Virginia Tech lost as a outright by 14 points as a 28-point favorite this week. I don't give a damn if your quarterback got hurt or not. You ought to have a good enough quarterback to go out there and at least beat Old Dominion, who has played like hot trash all season long so far. So that didn't happen. So I hope the Gamecocks don't go looking into this and get their heads big after a win against Vandy. They should feel confident. I feel that much is so. But don't get too big-headed here before you go take on Kentucky. But I hope that these guys, I really hope, Taylor, that they're hungry and they want to beat Kentucky's ass. And I will take a one-point win here. I will. You know, an injury-free one-point win, I always say that. That's not as good as it gets, but it's damn good enough. So before we go back into Kentucky, let's get back to the Vanderbilt game. And Taylor had some stats pulled up for us on the old PC a second ago, and it was getting a little wonky. We actually had to cancel out our entire recording process so far. At that point that he went to look at that, it got a little fuzzy. So I'm going to do the little stats off the phone here. Taylor's going to chime in when need be. And I'm going to run through the scoring summary here first, and then we'll get into the full box score, and then I'll talk to we'll talk about the game just for a moment, get back into the Kentucky game, because it's a big one. It really is. It's now, you know, to me, I thought the Vanderbilt game, as much as this sounds silly, it was the biggest game of the year to this point, even bigger than Georgia. You have to put that in your rearview mirror. We talked about that. You didn't have a game against Marshall to tune up to get into this conference slate. So we kind of wanted to see that. Now, Tommy mentioned on the radio the other day that he really wished we could have played that game to work the kinks out. But it looked like we didn't really have any kinks to work out Saturday, and I hope that can continue. I hope we can grow and get better. We saw some guys make big plays that we knew could, and we're hoping that they would. And we started the scoring with about 55 seconds into the game with a 38-yard pass from Jake Bentley to Shy Smith. It was a beautiful play. Parker White made the kick to make it 7-0. With 5:45 left in the first, we went up 10-0 on a Parker White 33-yard field goal. With 11:40 left in the half, Keyshawn Vaughn for Vanderbilt got in on a 2-yard run to cut it to 10-7. We then went within a minute, a little over a minute, minute and a half. Rico Dowdle punched in a 2-yard run to go up 17-7 on the Doors. 5:23 left in the half, Kalijah Lipscomb, who had a nice day, honestly. He's a pretty good wideout. He connected with a 2-yard pass from Kyle Shermer. Riley Gua, or however you say that, he made the kick to make it 17-14. And then Parker White hit a 35-yarder as time expired to make it a 20-14 lead at the half. We opened up the second half with a field goal, 36 yards by Parker White, with 10:16 left in the third quarter. And then to go up 23-14, Mon Denson had a 1-yard run. We went up 30-14, had a long weather delay, got back into the game. And with 2 minutes left in the game, Tyson Williams with a 1-yard run, Parker White connected on a kick, a nice back-breaking drive to win the game, 37-14. Now, Taylor, you and I talked about we wanted to see a powerful run game. We saw a powerful run game. We saw a good passing game. Just to run down the stats here real quick, you say anything you feel. If you want to interrupt me and talk about what stats jump out at you, that's fine. If you don't want to, so we can speed through this, because you and I are both tired. It's late. A lot of bull crap going on today. First downs, South Carolina held a 28-22 advantage. That doesn't sound like a big gap. And it's obviously it's not, but you know, usually if you win a game this big, you usually have a lot more first downs and third down conversions. We were 5 of 12 on third down; they were 2 of 14. So that's a very, very good stat for our defense to get off the field. Fourth down, we were 1 of 1; they were 3 of 5. And like to see that cleaned up a little bit. You don't want to give up that many fourth downs. But total yard is 534 for the Gamecocks, 284 for the Commodores. We got 261 of that from Jake Bentley on 19 of 28 passing, 9.3 yards throw, and he threw one pick. Shermer had – he threw 38 passes. They had 192 as a team. He was 19 of 38, I believe. Only 4.8 a throw, and he threw a pick. Rushing is where we severely dominated the game. 273 yards for the good guys on 48 attempts. That was 5.7 per carry. Vanderbilt had 33 carries for 92 yards, only 2.8 per carry. That's big time. Penalties, we had 8 for 54. Got to clean that up a little bit, some procedural calls and whatnot. They had 4 for 21 yards. We had 3 turnovers to their 2. And I think, you know, most of the time you don't win a game this big if when you commit 3 turnovers, but we forced 2 ourselves, and we just hit more big plays than they did, bottom line, and we dominated the line of scrimmage. And they actually controlled the clock by about 30 seconds, so it was about tit for tat. We lost 2 fumbles. They lost 1. So what of that jumps out at you? Obviously, the rushing yards, to me, that's one of the highest totals we've had in a while, especially against an SEC opponent. I was happy. I think this is what Gamecock fans want to do, is go out here and beat the hell out of Vanderbilt. Kentucky used to be in that same conversation too, but to put a bow on this, I think we did what we needed to do against Vandy. We got out of here with a nice W. I think the fans might feel a little bit better, maybe not as good as we did after Coastal. We were really, really pumped up. I know I was, and I'm usually a little pessimistic. Most of you that know me that are listening to this know that. But I say I'm more realistic. I thought going into this Vandy game that if we played our best, that we could go out here and beat this team by 10. I really believed that. I didn't give a score prediction last week. I think you said we'd win by 7, which is fair. You thought we would win. You weren't doubting that we would win. And I figured it would be a close game. But I did, in my heart, believe that we could take care of this ball game, and we did. So we exceeded my expectations. We exceeded yours. I think that's all we need to say about Vanderbilt. That's in the rearview mirror. We saw Kier Thomas getting nicked up. We'll see what Muschamp says about that tomorrow. Muschamp likes to keep it tight-lipped about the injuries sometimes. We thought Wonum was coming back for the Georgia game. He has not returned yet. Kinlaw got banged up as well. We need these guys out here because we are thin on the defensive line, and we definitely need them this week because, by God, we're playing one of the best running backs in the SEC. Because if
not
he can
just
put
in the SEC.
Well, no, you're right, in the country, but I would say in the SEC. The reason I said that is because if you can run behind this offensive line, which I think is okay, I don't think they're great by any means, but boy, he's put up some big-time numbers this year. And just to run down what Kentucky's done so far before we get into predictions and whatnot, what we think is going to happen this week, 4-0 overall, 2-0 in the SEC. Now, I'm only going to cover a few stats from the games they've played against legitimate competition, and that would be against Florida and Mississippi State. Just a side note, Benny Snell, 175 yards rushing in 2 games against the Gamecocks, 3 touchdowns. So he has hurt us in the past. We all know well that the last several years, Kentucky has been able to run the football very, very effectively against the Gamecock defense. Now, is this defense better than last year's? We don't know yet. I don't think they're quite as opportunistic. I think last year it seemed that we tackled a little bit better, and I think we were a little bit beefier and better up front. We need an edge presence here because they have a playmaker at quarterback, a guy that had originally committed to Oregon, went JUCO route, came in this year as a highly recruited player. That man is Terry Wilson. He's a dangerous, dangerous playmaker. Now, his stats versus Mississippi State were almost non-existent, but they didn't have to be because Mississippi State is a very, very legit defense, one of the best defensive lines in the country by far. I mean, they've got 2-3 NFL players on that team. There's no doubt in my mind. So, going back against Florida, Kentucky picked up a 27-16 win, snapping a 31-game losing streak to the Gators, which is outrageous. I mean, it was the longest, I believe the longest losing streak in college football from one team to another. It was bad. They had 454 yards of offense to Florida's 360. Both teams committed 2 turnovers in this game, so that was very, very telling that Kentucky could have almost 100 more yards than them. They did win by 11. They pretty much led this entire ball game. And Terry Wilson had a nice game, only 11 of 16 passing, but had 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did throw a pick, but he added 10 rushes for 105 yards and a touchdown. So a danger, danger, danger. Will Robinson, it's just a dangerous rushing threat. I'm scared to death of quarterbacks like this. With the multiple defensive looks that Muschamp likes to throw out there, I hope that we don't over pursue because
load the box.
You say load the box, man, but the thing is against a running quarterback is if you bring a lot of pressures and he has a gap,
yeah,
and he's quick, he's very, very fast, he can get up the middle, and this is how they've beat us the last couple of years, is just with this scrambling quarterbacks that don't really throw that well against us. They have run the ball all over us the last several years, and it's sickening. Benny Snell had a massive game against Florida. 27 carries for 175 yards. He didn't reach the end zone, but that's backbreaking. That's just big time. That's Lattimore numbers, guys. That's the bottom line. And that's against the Gators, who are not a bad defense. I don't think the Gators are a great football team this year, but they're always a solid defense. Against Mississippi State, Benny Snell had 25 carries for 165 and 4 touchdowns against probably, I would say, the fourth or fifth best defense in the SEC, maybe third. I mean, but one of the top five defenses in the SEC, he went wild. Now, Wilson had a ho-hum game, 8 of 14 for only 71 yards and a pick. Only had 18 yards rushing, and I think he had something like 20 carries, so he wasn't getting it done. They found a way to stop him, but late in the game, they found no way to contain Benny Snell. This game was close for a long time. They blew him out in the second half, dominated the football game in the second half. Their quarterback for Mississippi State, Fitzgerald, had nothing for this team. You know, his Heisman dreams flushed down the toilet in Lexington the other night. And now we have to head up there to the Sea of Blue and see what can happen. Taylor, based off of what you've seen of Kentucky and what you've seen of the Gamecocks.
27-3.
27-3. That is not even – I no. want to delete that off the podcast.
27-23.
Good guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, always. Okay.
So we're going to make 2 field goals. Are we going to miss any?
Probably.
Okay, whatever. 27-23. It's a crazy – so not closer than the experts think is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really want to give a score prediction – I like on this game. I know you do, but I mean the reason that I
and we hold Snell to 80 yards.
It's hard for me to give a score prediction when I'm nervous about a game. I think I gave a prediction on Coastal. I gave a prediction on Georgia because I felt that we could, if we played our best, that we could beat them. And I think I went a little overboard with what I predicted because I think I said we'd win by 10, and that's just outrageous. I should have never said that. I think I said 27-17 or something like that. Oh, boy, was I wrong. So I don't really like giving predictions. And last week you were around 24-17. I was thinking around the same lines. I thought it would be a little bit more defensive game than it ended up being. That being said, I'm going to make a prediction, but this is what it's going to be based on. I think if South Carolina can go out there, if Jake can minimize the mistakes and he can go – I don't want to see him drop back 40 times. I don't want to see that. And I know that we're throwing the ball more than we have in the past, a lot more. I don't want to see him drop back 40 times because I think our offensive line is big, strong, physical, and they're good. I think they are. And I think Tyson Williams really getting mad that he didn't get as many touches against Georgia. And then last week, what are we sitting here talking about earlier in the stats? He had 7 carries in that game for 48 yards. I mean, give that guy the football more. Yes, Rico had a great game against Vandy, but Rico didn't have a good game against Georgia. And Tyson's yards per carry is higher than Rico Dowdle's so far this season. I want to see him more in the mix. If you go with the hot hand, I understand Rico is your feature back, but I feel like we have 4 solid running backs here at South Carolina. I do. And rotate them. But if you see Tyson go out there like he did the other day and get 2 or 3 runs on a drive where he gets you 25, 26 yards, keep giving him the football. I mean, you don't have to keep giving it to him on that drive, but the next drive, let Tyson get back out there again. You can't tell me we don't have some sort of package where we can run 2 at a time. But we need to impose our will on Kentucky. We need to shorten this game. We don't need to go out there and give a team that wants to run at you. Tell me if you agree with this. Do you want to go out there and give them some 3-and-outs where you're just throwing the ball on first down a lot and getting behind the chains? I want to shorten the game against Kentucky, make it a defensive struggle, and see if we can compete nose-to-nose with these guys. Because, I mean, hell, if you can go out there, look, I'm not saying if Brian McClendon, who's way smarter than I am, knows a lot more about football than I ever will know, If he sees something in their defense that he thinks he can exploit or attack through the air, by all means do it. But we've got to mix it up, stay balanced. And I know this is just, you know, generic football talk here. It's
John Madden-esque.
No, it's not. Stay balanced. He would never even say that. I mean, but stay balanced and focused, and you've got to win the line of scrimmage. You just do. And I think that's going to be harder to do against Kentucky than it was against Vandy. But it's not going to be harder than it was against Georgia. So I feel like this team does not have, even though they've beaten us 4 years in a row, they're not better than Georgia. I don't believe they are by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I definitely think the Kentucky Wildcats can beat us by double digits. I do. They just did it to Mississippi State. All right, you cannot believe it and shake your head all you want. Don't add a comment. Just shake your head at me and play on your phone. That's fine. But all I'm saying is I do believe they can beat us by two touchdowns. I don't want them to by any means. I said earlier, my prediction is going to be based off of a bunch of what-ifs. If Jake Bentley can be efficient and not turn the ball over and not drop back 48 times, and we can get a ground game going and we're solid in the special teams and don't and win the turnover battle, we should win this football game. I know that sounds dumb to say all that, but that's how you win football games. You just have to be efficient. You have to take care of the football. So I believe that if we do all of the things that I have seen us do right, if we can put a game like the Vanderbilt game together again this week, I think we will beat Kentucky by no less than a touchdown. That is what I believe. I'm not going to give a score prediction, but we should beat Kentucky by a touchdown or more if we play our game. That's all I can say about that. What are your thoughts? Wrapping it up. Because you said 27-23. I mean, I could see that as well. But
you got to shut down this run game.
You do. Well, I don't think you can shut it down because I think he is that good of a football player. Look, I think if you give up 100 yards, you're okay. Maybe 120. You can't let him go for over a buck 50 on you, buck 75. You can't do that. Now, he has 175 yards in two games against us, but he has three touchdowns. We need to keep Benny Snell out of the end zone. If we can limit him to one touchdown and maybe a buck 20, I think we win this game, no doubt. Now, if he goes for two touchdowns more than that, I think that's a little iffy situation where we're in a tight game. We just can't turn the ball over. Look, come out here on fire like we did against Vandy, hit a big pass down the field to Shai Smith or Brian Edwards or Debo or somebody. I don't think they can cover all these guys. Mississippi State doesn't have all these guys.
Yeah.
I don't think Fitzgerald is as good a passer as Jake Bentley can be. I don't. He is a definite threat in the run game. He did nothing against this Kentucky D, which scares me. It does, because Miss State's got some hosses up front too. That's a solid ball club. Now, that first half was back and forth sloppiness. No, neither team could do anything. And I quit watching it because that woman was calling. And I hate that I'm being sexist here, but I can't listen to her talk. Wow. She's horrible. I mean, it's hard for me to say this. I might would rather listen to her than Joe Buck, but it's very, very, it's very, very close. It's bad. So that being said, I think this week the Gamecocks can get it done. I think they will get it done. I believe in them. I've been let down by them before a ton. It's not going to matter. I'm still going to be right here next Monday bringing you a recap. I'll just be a little more sad if they lose. And I'm going to talk about the next game because that's just what it is. I love them. You guys love them. That's why you're listening to this show. So, Taylor, if you've got nothing else to add, I think I can wrap it up. I think we've been brief enough this week. We don't need to bring you any more information than you're going to get elsewhere. I just wanted to give you my take on all of this stuff going on with the Gamecocks, because I feel like we can get this done this week. It would be a big win. I don't care about the top 25 rankings. I don't care if this game made us go back into it. That doesn't matter right now. What matters right now is treating each game like its own season almost to me and trying to stay focused each week. I think we did a great job. The coaching staff did a great job this week, keeping everybody prepared mentally, physically. They didn't have a game to work the kinks out, allegedly. Went out there, spanked Vandy in their place. Garnet and Black Nation showed up in droves. There were tons of our fans up there, as there always are. It's got to be sad that half the stands are our fans at one of their football games. They were loud. They were proud. Our band was loud, which I don't even know if they have a band. I could be wrong. But it's our band was just blaring. Our defense was flying around. We made great plays. Everybody looked like they were having fun. We played good damn football. I hope we can continue that this week. I look forward to it. I'll be watching on the SEC Network. And I'll be fired up. Taylor, anything you want to add?
Go Cox.
There you go. Go Cox. We'll see you next Monday.